This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Monday, September 15th. Brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. More bills fizzle out. China keeps talking in Madrid, and Trump seeks use of tariffs over Ukraine. More bills stall in the final week. As the legislature raced toward an end-of-week deadline on Friday, several bills failed to gather enough votes to cross the finish line. Assembly Majority Leader Cecilia Aguiar-Curry of Winters made another attempt at requiring drivers in autonomous vehicles, this time aimed at delivery trucks. Labor interests backing AB 33 said that would safeguard jobs and public safety, while tech and business groups argued it was overly restrictive and risk stifling innovation. AB 362 sought to recognize tribal beneficial uses in water quality plans. Tribal and environmental justice groups claimed the legislation would repair historic inequities and protect ecosystems. Opponents worry about new regulatory burdens and conflicts with the state water board's ongoing effort to update the Bay Delta plan. Water districts and farm groups backed SB 599 to equip the Department of Water Resources with more tools to improve the forecasting of atmospheric rivers to maximize reservoir operations. Yet the cost to implement the bill, pegged at more than $4 million annually, led to skepticism, though the bill gathered no opposition. Ultra-processed foods bill passes. The legislature has approved AB 1264 to phase out harmful ultra-processed foods from public schools. After a series of amendments over the summer, a coalition of agricultural groups moved to a neutral position, while two prominent fruit organizations actively backed the bill. Yet cattle, dairy, egg, poultry, and wheat producers remained opposed, along with the California Farm Bureau and the Consumer Brands Association. Urging Governor Gavin Newsom to sign the bill, Assemblymember Jesse Gabrielle of Encino charged that schools, quote, should not be serving students harmful ultra-processed foods filled with dangerous chemical additives. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this.
When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders, tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. U.S.-China economic talks restart in Madrid. U.S. and Chinese officials are in Madrid today for the fourth round of discussions on tariff and other economic issues. Last month, both countries extended a tariff truce until November. But trade tensions remain, and several ag commodities are already feeling the pinch from strained relations. China had not only made any bookings for the new soybean crop by the end of August, unprecedented for this late in the season, according to North Dakota State University researchers. Other buyers have not stepped in to offset the falling demand, the NDSU researchers find, and prices have fallen significantly below the cost of production. Chinese buyers are also holding off on booking U.S. corn, wheat, and sorghum, and are only placing minimal orders for pork and for cotton. U.S. calls on partners to use tariffs to end Ukraine war. President Donald Trump and senior administration officials, they're urging partners to use tariffs to help bring peace to Ukraine. In a post to his social media site over the weekend, Trump said he had written to NATO nations criticizing their continued reliance on Russian oil. It greatly weakens your negotiating position and bargaining power, Trump said. He pushed for NATO countries to stop buying Russian oil and impose steep new duties on China over its continued purchases. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent and top trade official Jameson Greer carried a similar message during an emergency call with G7 finance ministers on Friday. USTR said in a statement that the pair told ministers they should levy duties on countries buying Russian oil to squeeze revenues. Take note, the Trump administration has so far only imposed duties on India over its economic ties to Russia. GOP and Dems at loggerheads as spending deadline looms. The chances of a government shutdown in October are growing as Democrats and Republicans clash over the contents of a stopgap spending bill. Republican leaders are expected to advance a relatively clean continuing resolution that would extend government funding into November. But that CR can't pass the Senate without 60 votes, and Senate Democrats are demanding that the measure also extend expiring health insurance subsidies. The new fiscal year starts October 1. Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma said in an interview on CBS Face the Nation that Democrats are holding the CR hostage to get what amounts to $300 billion in additional health care spending. But Senator Chris Coons, a Delaware Democrat, said extended health care funding is critical because the Republican budget bill enacted in July is going to result in people losing health coverage. I think there are ways we can reduce the harm to Americans' health care through the appropriation process, he told Face the Nation yesterday. Now, for more on this week's D.C. agenda, including an update on the Senate nomination process, you can read our Washington Week Ahead at AgriPulse.com. County committees warn again of short staffing at FSA. County committee leaders continue to warn that short-staffed Farm Service Agency offices will be unable to quickly process farm program and disaster payments. In a news release, the National Association of Farmer Elected Committees notes that USDA officials have said the speed with which disaster payments were recently distributed demonstrates that FSA offices can handle the workload. But much of the groundwork for issuing those payments had been done in 2024 and 25, NAFEC says. A full year's worth of work in FSA offices allowed the administration to quickly send out checks based upon all of the work already performed in 24 and 25, NAFEC says. NAFEC says FSA leaders have conceded in meetings with NAFEC that staffing levels of county office employees are now under 6,000. That's compared to several thousand more just a short few years ago. NAFEC has county committee members in every county in the nation, and the word we're consistently hearing is our county office staffs are critically understaffed, said NAFEC President Jim Zumbrick, a grain and turkey producer from Ohio. Here's today's final word. The focus should have been on cutting the waste, fraud, and abuse, and the people you could do over time. That Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick on the premiere episode of The Axios Show, referring to Doge. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Monday, September 15th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Daly.